And so I bid you all grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. So every year, right at the beginning of Lent, we hear of Jesus' temptation. You might say, well, why? Well, because it's part of the work that he did to save us, and because he really did suffer to overcome the tempter for us. Now, there's so much to unpack in this moment of Jesus' work that we could be here all day and still only scratch the surface of its import as we talked about all that happened, but we don't obviously have all day. So to get at the heart of what happened, we need to hang on to 3 points. First, Jesus did this as a man and suffered for it. Second, he did this work with God's word and faith in that word. And then third, he overcame the temptations that we also face as we struggle with Satan's old lie, God doesn't really love you. So, the first point, Jesus did this as a man, as a human, like you and me, with one exception. He did not inherit the corruption of sin as we do. Humanity, his humanity in body and soul, was like that of Adam and Eve when they had first been created. He was created in the very image and likeness of God imprinted on him. And now we need to bear in mind that because almost every year I'll get asked, well, Pastor, he couldn't really sin because he's God. How could he really be tempted? Now, the short answer comes from the world of engineering. If you have a 1,000 weight pressure put on a beam that has been made to withstand 10,000, the beam's not going to break, but the pressure's still going to be there. It's going to still bear the strain and stress of that. We know it's not going to fail, but that doesn't mean that the strain and stress isn't real. Jesus is a man, a human being. And when he faced Satan, he did so without drawing his divine powers, the eternal Son. If he was going to be the source of a new and unbroken humanity for all of us, if he was going to be the second Adam that Paul describes, giving us life rather than death and grace rather than condemnation, then he had to face the devil in our shoes. He relied only on the Father to sustain him in hunger, to sustain him in exhaustion, to sustain him in the word, to sustain him in spirit. He did nothing for himself. And so, when he resisted temptation where Adam and Eve had failed, he became the first of a new humanity. And in him, you and I are born again, made new, and we inherit in Christ a righteousness that we never could have gotten on ourselves. But Jesus suffered for it. He suffered hunger. He suffered loneliness in those days. He suffered being weak before the enemy who was allowed to touch Jesus' holy body with his defiled hands as he carried Jesus into the holy city or to that high mountain. Jesus suffered not being able to prove his power in the face of the tempter's challenges. And Jesus suffered choosing the way that would lead to his death so that he could redeem the world rather than getting all the kingdoms for free by acknowledging Satan's rule. Don't think that any of that was easy, but Jesus did it for you so that in him you would have life. Secondly, Jesus overcame the liar's temptations with God's word and with faith in that word. Now, this is no small thing either. Jesus faced Satan as a human. So in his humanity, Jesus had nothing in either his strength or cunning with which to overcome the devil. Even as a fallen angel, the devil's creaturely powers are greater than anything found in humanity. But Satan has no power over the word. Remember Luther's happy little verse that we sang, in a mighty fortress, one little word can fell him. Or think of Paul writing to the Ephesians. We struggle not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, take up the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We do not live by bread alone, but by the word. We do not put Yahweh to the test, but trust him in all his ways. We worship Yahweh alone, and him only do we serve. This is the word that silences the tempter, but only if we believe and trust its truth. Jesus did, the righteous one, the word who is not just a tool or a weapon. The word is life and peace for those who trust it. If I trust in Christ, that bread doesn't sustain me, then I go where sustenance is found, to the word. If I trust God so that I accept that his way is truth, I have no need to put him to the test. If I know and trust that God is the Most High, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, why on earth would I serve or worship a lesser power? What could it possibly give me? So hold fast to the word. Know the word. Love the word. Believe the word. And third, Jesus overcame the temptations you and I face as we struggle with Satan's old lie. God doesn't really love you. It would be fascinating to look closely at Genesis chapter 3 here, but there's no real time for that. But Satan's whole pitch to Adam and Eve was basically that they needed to take care of themselves because Yahweh wasn't really doing right by them. He didn't really love them. And that catches us too. For instance, when our provisions or goods run low, maybe it's food in the pantry, maybe it's money in the bank, maybe it's your mental capacity, maybe it's strength or stamina. There's a lot of things that we can run low on, run out of. And when that happens, what happens in the dark corners of our mind or our hearts? We begin to think maybe God doesn't care, maybe God doesn't love me, maybe he's punishing me, maybe he's not even there. When we get caught up in what we lack, we can wonder, and then wonder whether we need to just provide for ourselves. Some turn to stealing, some cheating, some lying. Some abuse others. Whatever it takes to get what I think I need. After all, what's the old dictum? God helps those who help themselves. But Jesus didn't do that. He didn't use his divine power for himself to turn rocks into bread, no matter how hungry he was. He did not transgress God's will. But he trusted that the word would bring life. And so also us. Rather than getting caught up in what we lack, let us turn to the word and be filled. You might be surprised at what it does for you. But doubt is subtle. Another place the old lie tries to creep up on us is when we're stuck in a situation that is hard, that is sad, that is otherwise troubling. Maybe someone in our circle is sick. Maybe that promotion that you want always seems to elude you. Maybe I'm out of work. I'm out of love. I'm failing at school. We're going through hard times and we wonder, does God really love me? If so, then why is he letting this happen? And so we can be tempted to put him to the test. God, if you're really there, fix this. I'll go to church more. Do this for me. I'll tithe. Help me out here. I'll say my prayers every day. This bargaining challenges God to show himself by doing what we ask, what we want, as if our offers of whatever can give him anything really enticing. Jesus said, do not put God to the test. Don't tempt him. Why? Because we are given to trust that God will provide in the right way at the right time. We don't need to bargain with him. He's for us. All we need to do is listen. Think of St. Paul writing, he will not allow you to be pressed past your ability to stand, but he will provide the way out. Yahweh knows you, and his purpose is to redeem you, not crush you. So trust him. Trust is love. And when we doubt God's love for us, we are tempted to find other gods. You might remember Luther once described the human heart as a little idol factory. We constantly manufacture objects we worship in the hope that they will bring us what we want, and we will do whatever they tell us. Some people worship money, others success, others fame, others power, others intelligence. The list is endless. But it always works out the same. We look to something other than Yahweh for hope, for salvation, for comfort, for peace. And then we do whatever those idols tell us because we doubt God. But what did Jesus say to the devil? God, Yahweh alone, we worship. Yes, Jesus could have had it all from the usurper's hand, but that wasn't the devil's to give. And the only way to get it back and keep it, to keep us, was to pay the price according to the Father's will. And so Jesus did for us. In Christ, because he overcame the devil's temptations and fulfilled all righteousness, you and I have a new human nature. We are remade after the image of Christ. And the image of God is being restored in us. Once again, we can begin to know Yahweh as our gracious creator, as our loving Father, as our compassionate Redeemer. We know, we believe, and we rejoice. For in Christ, we are covered and forgiven. We are made clean, and we live in his grace. Which means that in Christ, we too can take up God's word and say no to all of the devil's lies and temptations. For in Christ, you know that you are loved. Always. Amen. And now may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until the glorious day of his appearing. Amen.